You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings to all. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. It's Blue Friday here on Seattle's bye week. Going to be heading to school for today's episode with some bye week progress reports for Seahawks players. Looking forward to sharing my thoughts on individual position groups through the first five games. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Whether you're watching for the press box like me, or at home with friends and family, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. The Seahawks are off this weekend on their bye, but there's still plenty of football for 12s out there to watch, and you can do so stress-free. That's the big deal about bye week. No last-minute finishes coming this weekend. Don't have to see Russell Wilson save the day with his cooking inside a minute left to play. So just take a load off and watch some games for fun this weekend. And there are a few games within the NFC West division of interest. So let's take a look at how the rest of the NFC West is faring right now. Obviously, Seattle is in first place at 5-0, best record in the NFL right now. Just behind them in the division, the Los Angeles Rams are off to a hot start. Last year, they missed the postseason, were one of the more disappointing teams in the NFL. They're off to a 4-1 start. The only blemish was a very close loss to the Buffalo Bills, another really good football team at 4-1. What I will say about the Rams, though, you exclude that one loss, they have absolutely feasted on the NFC East. All four of their wins so far this year are against NFC East teams. They beat Washington last week, earlier this year beat Philadelphia, they beat the New York Giants, and of course opened the season with a win over the Dallas Cowboys. So they have only played one game out of the NFC East so far, and that was their only loss, a game that they were ahead late against Buffalo, and then Josh Allen threw a touchdown in the closing moments to win that game for Buffalo. So otherwise, haven't been beaten. This offense is playing pretty well. The defense is still very stout with Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and company. They're ranked number three in the NFL in scoring defense. But again, when you look at who they've played, they haven't played a lot of offenses with big-time firepower. The Bills, probably the most explosive team they played. Dallas obviously has a lot of talent too. That was a season opener, which those games are a crapshoot. So they haven't played a lot of great offenses. Certainly, they feasted on Washington last week. Poor Alex Smith would drop back, and he had four guys, Aaron Donald most of the time being one of them, in his face. So the Rams have taken advantage of their schedule, and they've started off with a record that they should have, given the teams that they are playing. What I think the biggest difference when I watch this team, the couple Rams games I've watched last year, you could tell that Todd Gurley, even though he scored a bunch of touchdowns, he just was not the same back, and that's why they released him this offseason. Darrell Henderson has been much more productive, averaging 4.5 yards per carry out of the backfield. They've got a rookie they really like in Cam Akers that right now is third in the team in rushing attempts. Malcolm Brown is still getting more opportunities, partially because Akers was dealing with a rib injury for a few weeks, but they've got three really solid running backs, and Jared Goff, a solid 8-3 touchdown to interception ratio so far, a little bit over 1,300 passing yards, has looked pretty darn good most of this season. Hasn't been putting up elite numbers, but they don't necessarily need him to when the run game is going the way that it has here. So the Rams couldn't be happier with the start they are off to. In third place, the Cardinals at 3-2. Maybe the most confounding team in this division because they opened up the year with the win against the 49ers in week one, and this is before a bunch of the big injuries hit. San Francisco had some injuries in training camp, but they still had Nick Bosa out there. Richard Sherman played in that game. They have had some big injuries since that point. So the Cardinals beat a healthier 49ers team than what has been on the field the last few weeks for San Francisco in week one. Then they got a win in week two against Washington, again, an inferior opponent that they should have beaten. They followed that up with ugly losses. The winless Lions beat them, and then they lost to the Carolina Panthers, a team that now is 3-2, so maybe that loss isn't as bad as it looked at the time, but back-to-back losses to the Panthers and the Lions. Not necessarily good for the Cardinals' chances of contending in this division. When I've looked at the film, the things that stand out to me, the defense has been an area of concern. They actually rank fifth in scoring, but again, they played Washington and they played the New York Jets. Those two games, if you're giving up more than 10, 12 points, then something went wrong. So they've benefited schedule-wise, and now Chandler Jones is done for the season. Their best pass rusher, arguably the best pass rusher in football, is out for the rest of the year. That's a huge blow to the Cardinals. They've been very inconsistent on offense, too. Kyler Murray has flourished with DeAndre Hopkins, but at times, he's tried to force it to his new receiver. He's got 6 interceptions already this year. He's been effective running the football, but the running backs, Kenyon Drake, Chase Edmonds has come on a little bit the last few weeks. The run game has not been as good as it was late last year, so they're trying to find more consistency. This is a team with plenty of weapons, and at 3-2, they are still very much in the hunt, but this is going to be a very big game for them coming up against the Seahawks in Week 7. And then, of course, in the rear at 2-3, the 49ers, it's all about injuries, injuries, injuries. They've lost so many players during the early stages of this season to significant injuries. They lost Bosa for the year to a torn ACL. Richard Sherman still on injured reserve. Who knows when he is going to be back? They're hoping in the next week or two that they can activate him, but he is still sidelined for now. And they are coming off the worst loss imaginable. The Dolphins blowing them out at home 43-17 last weekend. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know if he just wasn't healthy and he shouldn't have been out there. He's been dealing with an ankle injury that cost him a couple starts, but he got pulled from the game after throwing a pair of interceptions. That defense is not playing well at all. Ryan Fitzpatrick torched him for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. Without Sherman, without Bosa, they get a number of other players, D Ford being banged up. Overall numbers on defense have certainly been helped by playing the Jets and Giants. Both their wins this year have been against the two New York teams. Otherwise, they're winless, and so it's really been a struggle for Kyle Shanahan's team, and this next couple weeks is going to be critical for them because they're playing the Rams this weekend. The Rams are already 2 games in front of them. If the Rams win this game, which they're going to be favored. The 49ers, after getting blown out last weekend, people are probably thinking that team's had too many injuries to overcome. They're done. Well, if they're able to get that victory, it puts them right back in the race. If they lose, they're 2-4. I don't see any conceivable way with the injuries that they've had, the struggles Jimmy Garoppolo's had. He's just not good enough to elevate a team that's got a bunch of players out like this. It's going to be really hard for them to not only get back in the NFC West race, but to just be in the playoff race in general. Not the start they were hoping for coming off of a Super Bowl loss last February to the Chiefs. When we return for the second quarter, it's time to dish out some bye week grade cards for the Seahawks. I'm going to start on the offensive side of the football first. Don't go away. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As an avid runner and weightlifter, it's never easy to stay on top of your game. Whether I'm trying to increase my max on bench press or cut my best mile time by 10 seconds, there are always obstacles and you have to find a way to power through them. What is your wall and how do you run through it? For me, I turn to Built Go, the healthy replacement for your energy drink. Coming from the makers of Built Bar, you know it's top quality and delicious. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages, it's the best workout gel on the market without the crash feeling you get from products such as 5-Hour Energy because it's all natural with 1/3 of the caffeine of a monster drink. Built Go comes in 3 delicious flavors, including peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Loaded with the good stuff to help me power to my goals, it includes fast-absorbing collagen protein, beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine to help me get going and promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, here for our Blue Friday episode. We are now in the bye week. The Seahawks won't be playing this weekend, getting a much-deserved week off after a 5-0 start. Going to be watching other games and not have to worry about anything this weekend. This is an excellent time for teams to reflect. As Pete Carroll talked about on Monday, the coaching staff was going to be reviewing film, trying to figure out which areas can we really attack as far as trying to improve when we get back to playing next week and we start preparing to play the Cardinals. And so being the former teacher that I am, I decided this would be a good time for me to review all the five games the Seahawks have played up to this point and dish out some positional grades, not just position grades, but individual grades as well. For those of you that are listening, I did post an article earlier today on Seahawk Maven with my positional grades. Some of you are wondering where I came up with the overall grade. I'm going to break it down with individual players so that you can get a sense of what perspective I had here. So obviously a quarterback, I'm only going to be evaluating one player. Russell Wilson is going to get a clear A. Now, some of you may say, why doesn't Wilson have an A+? He's the MVP frontrunner. He has thrown three interceptions, so that's something that I considered. But otherwise, he's been close to perfect. 19 touchdown passes, leading the NFL. He's just one off of Peyton Manning's pace from 2013 when he set the new record with 55 touchdown passes. An 11.2% touchdown rate. So 11.2% of his pass attempts have been touchdowns. That leads the NFL. Russell Wilson is third in passing yards. He's third in completion rate. Third among quarterbacks in rushing yards. So he's still a mobile threat, a dual threat. And he's got two game-winning drives, as good as any quarterback in football when the game is on the line. So this one's really easy. Russell Wilson gets an A. In the running back position, this is one that I got a lot of feedback from this morning from my article, because I'm going to give the running backs overall a B-. Now, if we're looking at individual players, Chris Carson has been fantastic this year. When you consider the fact that it looked like he might have suffered a severe injury late in that game against the Cowboys, and then he came right back from that knee sprain and he played the next week, had 80 rushing yards against the Miami Dolphins. His numbers overall are down compared to the last 2 years, but it's just because Seattle's slinging the ball around more in the passing game. Carson's got 289 rushing yards. He's averaging 4.7 yards per carry, so very healthy numbers. Six total touchdowns, 21 receptions out of the backfield. He continues to be a bigger part of their passing game, and that's made him just as involved when you really think about it. And so he's having a really good season. The numbers might not reflect it in the rushing department. I still think there are some big games coming from him in the near future. He's going to get that 100-plus yard performance. At some point, the Seahawks are going to need to run the football, and I think Chris Carson will be able to do that. The big reason the grade overall drops, Carlos Hyde has missed the last two games. They gave him almost $4 million. Not all of it was guaranteed, but they gave him that deal in May, believing he was going to be the secondary weapon to go with Carson, at least until Rashad Penny returned. Since he's missed those two games, he only has 57 rushing yards and 16 carries, been a relative non-factor in the passing game as well. So they just haven't gotten the production out of him, and obviously not running the ball as much has impacted him too. But when he has had his chances, hasn't really done, I think, what the Seahawks were hoping that he was going to do. And so I'm giving him a C-. I mean, it's early in the year. He'll have a chance to redeem himself once he gets back healthy. But certainly with the injury and not having a ton of rushing production those first three games, it hasn't necessarily been worth the bang for the buck as far as what the Seahawks paid for him to sign him to a contract. Travis Homer's averaging less than 4 yards per carry as their third down back. He's been very sound in pass protection. And so for that reason, I'm going to give him a solid C. I know there's fans out there that have been upset with how much he's been used, but he's been really good in that avenue. He protects Russell Wilson. He made a couple big blocks on that game-winning drive on Sunday against the Vikings. And so he's earned that third down opportunity. The rushing out there, not necessarily his fault either. Teams seem to know what's going to happen when he gets the football in his hands. A little less predictability from the play calling would help, but I just haven't seen enough of DJ Dallas to this point, and I'm thinking when they get back from the bye, we may see a little bit more of him, at least until Rashad Penny returns, which could be in the next few weeks coming off the PUP list. But Dallas, I have an incomplete grade on just because we've only seen him with the football in his hands 4 times. The other guys on the team have at least gotten more opportunities. At the receiver position, I'm going to give an overall grade of A-. This is one of the reasons Russell Wilson's been able to cook. He's got a fantastic supporting cast, and this is even without Philip Dorsett or Josh Gordon. Neither one of them have played a down so far in 2020. I'm going to give DK Metcalf an A. I considered A- because he has dropped 3 passes. He did have that critical fumble at the goal line against the Cowboys that would have made a game that ended up going down to the wire, have a little bit more breathing room, but otherwise, he has just been so darn good. He's been towering over corners. Nobody's been able to cover him. blowing past people, 22.5 yards per reception. He's third in the league with 496 receiving yards. He's tied for second with 5 receiving touchdowns. He should be in first place, but that's beside the point. He has put up monster numbers. He is playing at an all-pro level right now. I think if they voted all-pro teams right now, he would be selected to that team. He has just been a dominant force, and he's been clutch. 2 game-winning touchdowns this season, including last week against the Vikings. Tyler Lockett still had a good year. He's got 4 touchdowns as Seattle's secondary target, and I'm not saying that lightly at this point. That's what he's been, at least the last few games. He has been their secondary target. The numbers are down a little bit in recent weeks, and this is maybe what has surprised me the most. He has 4 drops this year. That's very uncharacteristic of Tyler Lockett. He is normally as sure-handed as any receiver in the NFL, so I'm going to give Lockett a B+. He's still been very good, over 350 receiving yards, had a couple huge games early in the season, but when you consider the drops and the fact he hasn't been quite as big of a contributor the last 2 games, I can't give him any better than a B+. I'm going to give David Moore a B, 173 receiving yards, 2 spectacular touchdown receptions. He's been so much more efficient this year in his 4th season with the Seahawks. The catch rate right now is at 71%, but there were a couple throws to him last weekend that Wilson made. There's no way Moore could have caught them. And so, to me, that's lower than what it really reflects. When the ball's been in his area, David Moore's been able to come down with some really nice catches. He's become that consistent receiver they've been waiting for him to emerge as the last couple seasons. And so he's given him a true number 3 that's on pace for over 600 receiving yards. And then rookie Freddie Swain, I'm going to give him a B too. Who would have thought the 6th rounder was going to come in out of training camp a year like this when you didn't have OTAs or mini camps? All he has done is come in and rack up at least 1 catch at every single game so far for the Seahawks. He has 7 receptions for 97 yards. He scored his first touchdown in the NFL against the Patriots back in week 2. He's worked a lot of the slot. He can play on the outside. He's fast. We're talking a legitimate 4-4 guy. He's reliable. He's shown he's got soft hands. They've used him in a number of different ways, and he's going to continue to get more opportunities because he's made the most of his chances to this point, and they're going to reward him for that. So he's done well. The other receiver who's been active, Penny Hardy, he's gotten some snaps but has not been targeted or anything. So obviously an incomplete there. Nothing really to grade him on. A player that looked good in training camp just hasn't had his chance up to this point in games. Tight end position, I'm going to go with a B-, and some might say, well, that seems kind of low, but here's my rationale here. I've got Greg Olsen with a B+. I think Greg has done exactly what Seattle hoped he was going to do for them. He has given them that safeguard for Russell Wilson that is a first down machine, and he can occasionally still stretch the field. We saw that Vikings game that he had a 20-yard reception. He can still be really good in those corner routes, running seam routes, but he is just a reliable receiver that you can count on to move the sticks. He has 15 catches this year, and 10 of them are for first downs. He has 1 touchdown. Will Dissly, I'm going to give a B because he's been really good in the run game. He's returned from his Achilles injury and hasn't missed a beat blocking. Wasn't really factoring into the pass game until this past week. Finally gets a 19-yard touchdown. It feels like he's on the verge of getting rolling here coming off that injury. I think he's been healthy the whole time, but I think they're just now going to start seeing him become a bigger contributor in the passing game. So those 2 guys have played well. Jacob Hollister, I'm giving a C+. He hasn't had a lot of opportunities, just 48 offensive snaps this year. He did score a touchdown, but he just hasn't played a lot. There haven't been a lot of opportunities there for him, so I'm going to give him a C+. He's been decent when he's been out there. He's played a little bit of fullback as well, but just not a lot of opportunities. And I'm going to give Luke Wilson an incomplete because I don't feel like it's fair to grade a guy that's played around 10 snaps on offense the entire season, hasn't really had a chance to show what he can still do because they've got 3 other tight ends in front of him. He's been dressed for most of the games, but hasn't really played many snaps. So I'm going to give him an incomplete. For that reason, I'm going B- here. I think this group has played well. I think it can play better. And of course, there's the Colby Parkinson factor here as well. If the rookie comes back soon, they're going to maybe want to get him into the mix. That could mean Luke Wilson becomes expendable at that point. We'll have to see what Seattle chooses to do there. Certainly a talented position with a lot of depth that hasn't had as many opportunities because the receivers are playing so well. And then last but not least, the offensive line. I never thought I would say this on Locked On Seahawks because if we did this segment last year, and I'd have to go back, I think we probably did, I probably gave this unit a C or a C- at best. I'm going to give the offensive line right now a B+. I am drinking the Kool-Aid. They have been fantastic this year. Dwayne Brown at 35 is still playing at an all-pro level. I'm giving him an A-. He's done a great job. He got beat a few times by Alden Smith in week 3, but otherwise, he's been really good in pass protection, still a excellent run blocker. Mike Iupati, I'm going to give a B. He's been solid. Missed a game, but he's been really good when he's been out there on the field, and he hasn't given up a sack to this point in pass protection. So they're getting good all-around play from the veteran. Ethan Postick has been a very pleasant surprise at center, filling in for Justin Britt. It's his natural spot, and he has shown that. He seized that position immediately in training camp. BJ Finney never had a fighting chance to win that position. So I'm going to give Posick a B+. He's done a really nice job. He's done well in pass protection. He has held up as a run blocker better at center than he did at guard. So he's playing really well. Damian Lewis, I'm going to give an A-. He's been as good as any guard, a rookie guard in the NFL. He's been one of the maybe the 9 or 10 best guards overall in the league this year. Pro Football Focus would agree with me on that. That's the crazy thing. All of these linemen, all 5 starters, got at least a 67 grade or better from Pro Football Focus. 3 of them are at 70 or better. Lewis has a 75.7, one of the highest marks for any guard in the league. And on film, you can see that. This kid has played really well. He's not as refined as a pass protector, but he's a mauler in the run game. He has shown improvements each week protecting Russell Wilson. Only has given up a couple sacks, so get some of those holding penalties out of the way. This kid is really going to become a force at that right guard spot. And Brandon Schell, what can you say about Brandon Schell? He has been a major upgrade over Jermaine Ifedi just by the fact he's not getting penalized near as much, and he has been better in pass protection. He is the 6th highest pass protecting right tackle in the NFL per Pro Football Focus. The film shows that. He's had some issues with inconsistency run blocking, so I'm going to give him a B, but he has been really sound in pass protection, which with the way this offense is now molded, they're throwing the ball more. That's a bigger deal, and so there's going to be more weight to the pass protection, so giving him a B. Every lineman on that starting lineup has at least a B for me, and I got a couple notable reserves to throw in there too. Jordan Simmons is the number 2 ranked guard for pass block win rate in the NFL per ESPN at 97%. He has started a game last week for Mike Iupati. He played most of the week 3 game for Lewis at right guard. He's played both guard positions extremely well. I'm giving him a B+. He hasn't been quite as dominant in the run game as he was when he started 3 games a couple years ago, but he's been outstanding in pass protection. Jamarco Jones has gotten some snaps too. I'm going to give him a B-. Still not enough of an enforcer in the run game, but his tackle background, he certainly can pass protect well in there. And Cedric Ogbuehi, I'm giving an incomplete. He's played a few snaps at right tackle when the Seahawks were in Miami, but we just haven't seen enough from him to really be able to grade what he brings to the table. But Simmons and Jones have certainly played enough snaps this season to warrant a grade card. Anyway, when we come back for the 3rd quarter, I'm going to switch over to defense. It's obviously been a tougher go for the defense than on offense for the Seahawks these first 5 weeks. So we'll be looking at defensive ends, defensive tackles, linebackers, and then, of course, a much maligned secondary that has struggled for the most part these first 5 games. I'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, here on our Blue Friday episode. We're in the middle of a bye week for the Seahawks. No game coming up this weekend. It's the perfect time to do some evaluating on where the team is at. Last quarter, I was looking at the offensive side of the football, dishing out some grade cards. Now, it's time to talk defense. It's been a much tougher first 5 games for the defense than it has been for Seattle's offense, which has been lights out with Russell Wilson at the controls. The defense, on the other hand, has set a record for the most passing yards given up through 5 games. They have been better in terms of giving up points. This is a defense that has specialized in bending but not breaking a lot of really big 4th down stops. They've created a lot of turnovers, but they have given up a lot of yardage. It has not been an easy going for this defense through the first 5 games. Nonetheless, going to be fair with these evaluations because they have been able to make those big stops, and there's been plenty of flashes where this team has shown that they can play good defense. So let's start at the defensive end position. I'm going to open with LJ Collier. He started all 5 games at the base defensive end spot. I'm going to give him a solid B. He's had 9 pressures this season going after quarterbacks. He's got 3 quarterback hits. He's had his first sack against the Vikings on Sunday night. He's been so close in other games. He's been a stout run defender. Only has 6 tackles, but it's misleading because he's played such great edge defense. that it has really opened up opportunities for teammates to be able to come in and make plays, and that seems to happen every single week. I feel like Collier has gotten better every week, and if he can keep doing that, he's got a real chance to lift that grade up. I think he could be a guy that gets you 5-6 sacks this year because he's been able to consistently generate some pressure, just hasn't been able to get home until this past weekend. So I've been really pleased with his progress. I'm going to give Benson Maiyoua a B-. It's been kind of a hit and miss first five games for him. He's played so many snaps, which considering he only played 30% of the snaps for the Raiders last year, I'm sure he's really excited about that he is the guy there at Leo, especially with Bruce Irvin being out for the season. But he has missed on a lot of opportunities. He has a pair of sacks. He's also got four tackles he's missed this year. Three of those were on sack opportunities. So he's been able to generate pressure, but he has not capitalized on those situations. So when you consider that he's gotten a couple strip sacks and that he's been able to get back there, he's been an active rusher. I'm not going to dock him too much on the grade, but those missed sacks certainly prevented him from being any better than a B-. He's really been a solid Leo for them, but he's got to finish plays. Demontre Moore, I'm going to also give a B- to. A late addition in training camp. He's come back to Seattle. He has as many quarterback hits in nearly 70 less defensive snaps than Jadeveon Clowney. And again, this is not Clowney bashing. Those that are listening, I think Clowney is a fantastic player. It's simply a statistic that I found was interesting at this stage of the season. And Moore has come up with some big plays for them, whether it's on defense or special teams. I still can't get over that hit he made on kick coverage the other night against the Vikings. He had a forced fumble on a strip sack in that game as well. So he has come up with some big plays for them, and he plays with such a motor. He's going to continue to get opportunities rushing off the edge for the Seahawks. So I'm going to give him a B-. Allen Robinson is going to get a solid C+ from me. We have seen flashes. He got his first sack late in the game against the Cowboys. That was a crucial play by him. He's had a couple other tackles for loss. There's been long stretches where he has disappeared for the Seahawks, though, and that's not abnormal for a fifth-round pick that's playing as a rookie. He's still trying to find his way in the NFL. That's a huge jump going from college football to the NFL, and though he played really well in training camp, once teams had some film on him, it was going to be a struggle. And so now he's got to adapt and he's got to continue to improve. I've seen some things that I've been intrigued by. I've also, again, seen stretches where he's really been non-existent. They're going to need him to become more consistent in the second half, at least as a pass rusher. He's been able to chase down some plays. I love the effort that I'm seeing. So again, a C+, a solid C+ for him. Rasheem Green, we've only seen one game, so I'm going to use an incomplete one there. Didn't get enough snaps in that Falcons game for me to be able to judge him. Jonathan Bullard, on the other hand, he's only played one game and 23 snaps for the Seahawks, but in this case, he's kind of like that smart new kid that comes in and gets an A on a test 3 days after he arrives in your classroom. That's what Jonathan Bullard did the other night for the Seahawks. He got four quarterback pressures, two quarterback hits. He was a monster in the interior, rushing from three tech and four eye alignment. Minnesota had a lot of trouble in the second half blocking him, and I just thought he played a fantastic game. Now, I am curious to see what he's able to do if he gets a second opportunity. If Rasheem Green's activated from injured reserve before week 7, who knows if Bullard's on the roster? I think he deserves another opportunity because he played really well. But certainly there will be some decisions that have to be made. But I'm going to give him an A- just based on the one game that he played. He played really, really well the other night, and I'm really curious to see what he can do with another set of 20-25 snaps against his former team, the Cardinals, in week 7. Overall, I'm going to give a C+ grade to the defensive end group. The pass rushing has not been where you want it to be, particularly when it comes to sacks. They've gotten enough quarterback hits, but they haven't been able to finish necessarily with the pressures that they've had. I think the run defense from that group, though, has been pretty solid. So I'm going to give them a C+ at that position. Defensive tackles moving to the interior. This is a group that has not done much pass rush-wise. Jaren Reed has just one sack. He's been really sound as a run defender, though. Puna Ford has got a couple quarterback hits. He's been very sound as a run defender for the most part. He had some assignment miscues against the Vikings on Sunday, but he's had a overall pretty solid season. Brian Monet has made some big plays. He got a safety, and he has half a sack. Anthony Rush also has half a sack and five tackles in limited playing time. I think when you look at the film, there's a reason they want Damon Harrison. Damon Harrison is a guy that is going to take that run defense to another level, but I got to give at least a B minus to every single one of these guys because all of them have made big plays. They've been consistent. The run defense up until last Sunday had been really good, and I'm not sure that the defensive line was to blame for some of the issues that they had against the Vikings. There were some questionable plays made by the linebackers. And so I'm going to give Jaren Reed a solid B. I'm going to give Puna Ford a solid B as well. Both of them have been really solid against the run. There have been flashes in pass rushing. That is where they can improve their grade, is getting more pressure on quarterbacks. Brian Monet, I'm going to give a B minus because he has that safety. He's actually been surprisingly decent as a pass rusher at 340 pounds. And Anthony Rush has also shown some flashes in that regard. So I'm going to give both those guys a B minus. It might be interesting with those grades that I think Damon Harrison is needed. But as I said, Damon Harrison is a former All-Pro. They can find a place to fit him in here with this group. And Anthony Rush is banged up right now, dealing with a knee injury as well. Going back to the second level, linebackers, Bobby Wagner, I'm going to give him a very solid A. He's had a nice bounce-back season. I don't even know if he needed a bounce-back season. He was still a first-team All-Pro last year, but 52 tackles. Quarterbacks are posting a 70 passer rating and a 58% completion percentage when they target him. He's got 5 passes defensed already this year. He's been much better in coverage, and I think some of it's been playing more nickel packages this year than they did last year, but he's just been moving better. He looks like the perennial All-Pro that he has been for a long time out there in coverage, making big plays in the run game as well. Has 3 quarterback hits. And KJ Wright, he's playing as good a football as he has in his entire career. Has he given up a couple touchdowns in coverage this season? Yeah, the one against the Cowboys where he ended up against Cedric Wilson, there was a coverage breakdown there. That was not on him. He ended up with a fast receiver and ended up getting beat. That's going to occasionally happen, but he's got 5 passes defense, that incredible one-handed interception last week against the Vikings. He's been outstanding against the run, especially since he made that switch to Sam linebacker a few weeks ago. So I'm going to give him an A-. He and Bobby Wagner continue to be 2 of the best linebackers in the sport. Bruce Irvin, unfortunately, only played in 2 games. We didn't get to see him make much of an impact as a pass rusher, but he played solid football. I'm going to give him a B- for those 2 games. He could have improved upon that grade if he was healthy. Cody Barton, I'm going to give a C. There have been some flashes. He's made a few plays, but he's also been a liability at times, particularly when linemen have been able to get to him at the second level, which happened a lot last week against Minnesota. He missed a few tackles in Miami the weekend before, so he's made some good plays. There's been way too many bad ones out there, though, so I'm going to give him just a flat average, a C. And Shaquem Griffin, I'm going to give a B. He's really flashed the last couple weeks for this team. We saw what he did the last drive against the Cowboys, making a number of impact plays. He's been a solid situational rusher the last couple weeks. He got a quarterback hit on Kirk Cousins in last Sunday's game. The week before that, he got some pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick a couple times. We saw him get a quarterback hit against the Cowboys in week 3. So when he's had his opportunity, he's played well in that specialty role. No sacks yet, but I think he is on the verge. We may see a game where he pops and gets 1 or 2 sacks here in the very near future because he just plays a different hybrid role with that 4.38 speed coming off the edge. So I'm going to give him a B. Jordan Brooks, we just haven't seen enough for the first round pick yet. He's only played a handful of snaps. So his grade for right now, incomplete. Now going back to the secondary, this is the group that's been under fire the first 5 weeks, particularly the corners. Shaquem Griffin, I'm going to give a B-, and the main reason I'm going to give him that good of a grade, he does have 2 interceptions, he has 7 passes defense, that saves his grade some. He has made some plays on the football. However, he can't get a higher grade than that because he's given up 4 touchdowns in coverage already. Quarterbacks are posting a 108.7 pass rating. You're not expecting your Pro Bowl corner to play like that. He has done some really nice things. I think he's played much better the last few games. He got torched the Cowboys game. So if he can continue to build off what he did in Miami and against the Vikings on Sunday, then I think he's got a good chance to get back to playing at a Pro Bowl level. He's looked much better the last couple weeks. So I'm going to give him a B-. Quentin Dunbar is actually going to get the highest grade from this group. We've only seen him for 3 games. He missed 2 games with a knee injury, but quarterbacks are posting a 66 passer rating against him. He's got 4 passes defensed and an interception. He dropped a couple that he should have picked off, but he has played well. He's been intriguing out there in his first 3 games for the Seahawks. The 2 games that he missed, unfortunately, that meant Trey Flowers was in the lineup, and I've been high on Trey Flowers going into the season. I thought he was going to take a jump forward, and I thought the addition of Quentin Dunbar was going to bring out the best in him. That has not been the case, though. he's given up an 83% completion rate to opposing quarterbacks. They're posting a 123 rating when targeting him. He's averaging more than 10 yards per target in coverage. It has just been a disaster for him early in the season. I'm hoping that he's able to start turning things around because he did show that he has some potential last season. He played really well in the middle of the season. End of the year, though, on a bad note, and that has carried over to this year, unfortunately, for the third-year corner. So I'm giving him an F. I don't like handing out flunking grades, but he's flunked. He has not played well in these games. He's given up explosive plays downfield. He's given up plays underneath. He just hasn't been able to make plays in the football. The one chance that he did have to make an interception bounced off his chest, and then the Cowboys receiver, Michael Gallup, caught it in week three. So it just has not been a good year for Trey Flowers. Hopefully, when he gets his opportunities moving forward, he's going to be able to improve upon what has been a really, really challenging start for him. At the slot position, I'm going to give Ugo Amadi a B+. Marquise Blair didn't play enough for me to really have much of a grade. I'm going to give him a C+. Would have loved to see more from Marquise given how well he played in training camp. But I do have more to work with Amadi. He's given up a 72% completion rate, but just 7 yards per completion. No touchdowns. Has 4 passes defense. He's been aggressive in coverage. He has exceeded my expectations coming in for Marquise Blair there in his second year in the league. He just looks faster. He looks more comfortable playing that slot corner position. Still have some reservations about him against faster and bigger receivers, but to this point, he has played well at that position for Seattle. So I'm going to give the corners overall a C- grade. That gets weighed down a lot by the fact they've given up so many big plays and the struggles of Trey Flowers and Shaquille Griffin at times this year. And then last but not least, the safeties. Jamal Adams has missed the last 2 games with a groin injury. Some might be surprised. I'm only going to give him a B+, and here's why. He has 2 sacks. He has 5 quarterback hits. He's got over 20 tackles. But his coverage has been an absolute struggle this year. Quarterbacks are posting a 115.3 passer rating against him. He has surrendered 209 passing yards on just 11 completions. That's 19 yards per completion. That is not acceptable, and he would tell you that. I am better than that. He's just given up way too many big plays in coverage, and some of it's the aggressiveness that he plays with. It's put him in a bad spot, particularly against Julian Edelman in week 2. Quandre Diggs, I'm going to give a C+. He's only been targeted 7 times, according to Pro Football Reference, but he has missed 4 tackles this year, and several of them were in key situations, including when he was trying to tackle Dalvin Cook at the goal line last week. So he's struggled as a tackler. He's left some big plays in the field, just 2 passes defensed. His 1 interception came on a Hail Mary after how well he played last season in 5 starts in the regular season. It's been kind of disappointing to see what he's played like these first 5 weeks. I don't necessarily think that he's played bad football, but he hasn't been the difference maker that he was last year. Still very early. Get some cohesion for this secondary, then I think he can turn things around. But early on, he has not been playing at the same level that he played those 5 games for the Seahawks last year after coming over from the Lions. Ryan Neal, B+ for him. He's been fantastic filling in for Jamal Adams. He's had a few missed tackles. That's the only thing that's really weighing him down. But 18 tackles, 2 interceptions, 4 passes defensed. He has been playing outstanding football in his third year, finally getting the opportunity to play some defensive snaps with Adams out. And I think the Seahawks are going to find ways to continue to get him involved moving forward. And the last safety here on my board, Lano Hill, he's only played in a couple games this year. He missed the last 2. He's dealing with a back injury. I don't know if we'll see Lano Hill again the rest of this season. From what Pete Carroll has said, he is not making progress returning from that injury like they hoped he would. And he honestly struggled a lot those first couple games. He made a big play in that 4th down stop against the Patriots coming in and blowing up the fullback's block. He made a few nice tackles in the run game that game, but otherwise, he's given up an 85% completion rate against him, over 100 passer rating. He's limited. You really can't play him as a deep safety in the NFL. He is a box safety strictly. It does feel like Ryan Neal has passed him. Now, I'm going to give Lano Hill a C because he always gives you decent contributions on special teams. He had that big play at the goal line, but otherwise, we didn't see much from him in the 3 games that he has played in so far this season. So I'm going to give the safeties overall a B- grade. Jamal Adams and Ryan Neal both being B+ weighs that up a little bit. Diggs, Hill both in the Cs. This is certainly a group that I think can play much better coming out of the bye week, given the talent they've got, especially Quandre Diggs. I think he's going to get things figured out, and we'll see his ball-hawking ways start to return a little bit here in the final 11 games of the season. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at CorbinSmithNFL. You can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is, by going to our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. Coming up on our Monday show, I'll be back with Rob Rang. We'll have our Monday mailbag segment and start to dive into Seattle's preparation for an NFC West clash with Arizona. Enjoy your weekend. Go Hawks.